What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another CUSA football preview episode for you today. This time, we will be talking all about the Sam Houston Bearcats because we are playing football this weekend. I cannot believe it's finally here, but Josh Yonas is back with us on the show today. Thank you, Josh, for joining us once again. Back from Canada. I hope you enjoyed your vacation.
Yes. It was a great time to get away for a little bit before the craziness of football season. Had a great trip with the family. So excited to be back. And yeah, like you said, 5 days away from the first CUSA game between Sam Houston and WKU. Super excited to jump right back into it and talk a little Bearcats ball.
Yeah, we're excited too. And if you are a Bearcats or Hilltoppers fan, this week is all for you guys. So we've got Sam Houston's preview episode right now and then WKU's later in the week. So be sure you are tuning in to CUSA Insider. But joining us today to talk all about Bearcats football is Colton Foster, sports editor at the Huntsville Item. Colton, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Colton, before we dive into the 2025 Bearcats, obviously we'd be remiss if we didn't start with a little bit of a recap of last year. And really, you know, if we pull it back a year further, first year in Conference USA, you know, obviously a little underwhelming, 3-9. So many of those one possession games that got away from the team. You turn that around into a 10-3 team last year that ended with a win in the New Orleans Bowl. So going into this year, just talk to me about the expectations coming off of last year. Obviously, new staff, lots of new faces on the team. You're going to be playing in a new stadium. There's just a lot of newness around the program. But how do you think the Bearcats plan to follow up on an incredible 2024 campaign?
You know, obviously the plan is to go kind of hit that mark you had last year, if not build on it, but there's going to be some questions with that. As you mentioned, there's a whole lot of new stuff going on, new coach, new offense, new defense. Everything's really new for this team. So getting to that mark might be kind of, you know, it might be hard for this squad, but, you know, getting into this Conference USA slate, it's going to be key with how they can just perform. Their biggest thing is nobody really knows what they're going to do or how they want to do it. So they can kind of throw a curveball at game one with Western Kentucky. And I think it's kind of similar to last year. If they can get out to a fast start like they did at Rice and do the same thing against Western, you kind of set the tone early for this team that a lot of people have doubts about because of all the changes everywhere on the field and really, you know, in the coaching offices and everything like that, too.
So obviously, new head coach Phil Longo, known for his offensive prowess, but also one thing he's known for is the air raid offense, which quarterback from last year did not play under. But what are you hearing about in the quarterback room? Anything sticking out to you, either from your time at practice or your time with media availability with the coaches? Who do you think is going to be running out there this weekend come Saturday in their first game of the season?
You know, I've kind of said it from the jump that I felt like it was Hunter Watson's job to lose this year. He's not a typical air raid quarterback, so he kind of struggles with the deep balls a little bit, but he can kind of dink and dunk across the field for this team. And they bring in maybe Meditower from Wisconsin and the Woodlands, so just right down the road, who can do the deep ball. They've been really, really quiet on who is going to take the snaps, but it really does feel like kind of Hunter's going to get the nod here week one or week zero, and you know, it'll be kind of his job to keep or lose and see what can come next. But yeah, it seems like it could be Hunter's job. And you know, the other thing is Hunter provides kind of a quarterback run to this offense, and Longo has told us that, you know, he's an air raid guy, but that doesn't mean he wants to throw the ball 50 times a game. He's going to do whatever he's working for this offense.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, last year there was plenty of big play ability around Hunter in that offense, and a couple names that are coming back in Michael Phoenix, Quavez Humphreys, that provided some of those highlight reel plays that we saw. Do you kind of see the same kind of electricity in the offense, you know, so far through camp?
Yeah, you know, not even just the offense, really the whole team has brought, you know, kind of an electric feel with the new coach. There was a video posted to social media about Phil Longo coming in to John Cena's music, and he hits some wrestling poses. It's just like vibes feel high for this team. But yeah, you know, guys like Quavez, if I remember correctly, he opened against Rice with like a 60 plus yard touchdown last year. You know, I just think it's one of those, like I said earlier, if you can get the playmaking going early and kind of
find your stride quickly, I think they can have a, you know, a decent year.
Talk to us a little bit about the defense. Obviously, we've heard no returning starters on defense this year, which is a huge, unfortunate break for Sam Houston. Is there anyone who's stepped up that was on the team last year that maybe just didn't get as many snaps? Or is there somebody who's transferred into the program that you think can be a real standout for the defense for the Bearcats in 2025?
Yeah, so one of the guys that was on the team last year, Imon Allen, he's a guy that I think they're expecting a little bit from this year. And, you know, it's kind of one of those situations this year where it might not be expecting the level of play on the field, but to keep the culture of the defense in place, they've, you know, been known for their defense since probably about for the last 5 or 6 years, they've been, you know, known for what they can do on defense. So, you know, keeping kind of what's been in place has been good. CJ Brown's another one that, you know, we've heard is taking leaps and bounds. Antavius Fish is another guy I would keep an eye on. There's just a few guys that have transferred in that, you know, are expected to get some big plays and some big snaps for this team. And like you said, everybody's completely new. So it's all going to be a fresh look and everything like that for this new front.
Going back to the offensive backfield, I know that last year a big emphasis was the ability to use Jay Ducker, DJ McKinney in many different ways, you know, in the run game, in the pass game. With both of them gone and lots of new faces with a lot of really good experience in that running back room, do you see anyone that kind of fits the same type of archetypes, you know, of those running backs? And who do you kind of expect to stand out from that room?
Yeah, you know, I think those two with Elijah Green and Shane Porter, I think they'll probably be your one and two guys. Shane Porter played at UNT last year and 648 yards, I think it was, on the year. And then Green played at Indiana where he didn't get any snaps or anything, but he was on the team and was able to kind of get that experience of going to a college football playoff and all of that stuff. I would look for those two. The real question would be is what they kind of want to do. Like I said, they really aren't saying much. They want to kind of just let it show at Western Kentucky. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what works. But I think both of those guys can do pretty much anything that they want in this offense.
Yeah, we've heard that there's some things that are being kept very close to the vest there down in Huntsville, Texas, and that we won't figure out a whole lot of stuff until the game starts on Saturday. But, you know, every coach is entitled to do things the way that they want to do them, and that's okay.
I get it. I get it. You start the year with, I mean, playing in week zero is one thing. Playing a conference opponent week zero is another thing. Playing a league contender in week zero is a whole nother level. So yeah, I definitely appreciate kind of the slyness of the coaching staff to keep everything under wraps as much as they can. But let's talk about the schedule a little bit more, because Sarah, right before we hopped on, even Sarah made a comment about it, and she was like, is it just me or is this schedule like really hard? And
I was like, really, non-conference, like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, the first 4 weeks, because obviously, like I just kind of teed it up there, you have, you know, a team that is expected to compete for a Conference USA title in week zero. You're on the road. You come home, a late kick against UNLV, who is one of the top G5 teams last year. And then obviously for anyone making that trip to Hawaii is a grind. And then coming back to play the, you know, preseason number one team in the country in Texas. So what kind of jumps out to you? I know if you're planning to travel, you're about to get plenty of airline miles with this schedule top to bottom. But tell me about what games are really jumping out to you on the schedule.
You know, really the first three to me kind of jump out, similar to last year where it was Rice. Oh, I can't remember the other two, Hawaii and somebody else.
UCF.
Yeah. You know, UCF was, I want to say, similar to this Texas game because it felt a little closer. I mean, this Texas game, you could go ahead and probably put 0-1 on the record. But, you know, I think it's really similar to last year. If they can get out to this Western Kentucky game and in Bowling Green and, you know, just get out to a hot start like they did at Rice. I believe they went up 14-0 with like 10 minutes still on the clock in the first quarter. So if you can do something similar to that, I mean, I think it's all going to be about how you start. If they stumble out of the gates against Western Kentucky, then what do? You come home and face a UNLV team that does have a new coach, but, you know, is was right there fighting for a spot, like Boise State in the college football playoff last year. Then you have to travel however many miles it is to Hawaii, and you know, you beat them up pretty good here. But what are you going to do when you have to travel, you know, all the way out there to them? You're going a few days early, but you're in Hawaii. So I think really, if they can just, you know, if you can escape this 4-game stretch 2-2, or even 1-3, I think you have to consider it, you know, a really big win for this squad that has a non-conference that just isn't set up very well for them this season.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's tough on the travel side. Everyone knows in our league, we are geographically spread out anyway, but you guys did pull a lot of really, like not a whole lot of big travel games in conference, I will say. But yeah, your non-conference travel schedule, not to mention, we didn't say it before, but you have an away game at Oregon State in November. So that's another West Coast travel of a game. So definitely a tough one, but I do want to look at the conference schedule as well and just kind of roll that down. I think everyone knows that week zero is WKU. We've got that one pretty much covered. But then you don't meet another conference opponent until your fifth game of the season, going to New Mexico State, and then you've got the reigning Conference USA champions who all they do look very different this year. You've got them at home, UTEP at home, and then you've got an away game at Louisiana Tech before you head to Oregon State, as we mentioned before. Delaware, the newcomers in the conference at home, away at Middle Tennessee, home at FIU. I think that a lot of people in our league would take a look at this schedule and say that you guys got a pretty decent draw, especially with how the home and away games figured out. Any of those conference matchups that stick out to you just from your side?
You know, the Delaware one's fun just with the Ryan Cardi ties, right, being at Sam for so long. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting how they kind of shape up with, you know, they don't draw Liberty this year, so you don't have to face one of those teams. So teams like New Mexico State and UTEP kind of catch my eye because those are two teams you're kind of expecting to take a step up this year. And even Louisiana Tech, those three are teams that you kind of, not to say they're going to have the same season that Sam had last year, but they're, you know, expected to take a step up and all of that. FIU has, was it two of the three preseason players of the year on their team? So that's another one. But like last year, you know, most of those games were almost one score games, I think, and they all kind of went to Sam's direction. This year, I think, you know, they could be pretty similar. I don't think there's too much separation between a lot of the CUSA schools. So, you know, I think it's going to depend on what can kind of happen and how you can, you know, get yourself to win those one score games like you did last year. I mean, Louisiana Tech Sam was 9-3 last year, and I believe 3-2 at the half. You know, stuff like that. Actually, I think Sam had 2 3-2 games at one point last year. So, you know, I just think it depends on how kind of things fall this way. And like y'all had talked about at the beginning in 2023, they didn't fall that way for Sam. So they went 3-9, but it felt like they were always one play away from every play and from every game. And I think, you know, this year is going to be very similar. And I think, you know, just getting out to that fast start against Western is really going to set the tone for this team.
You know, it's interesting. Okay, I have to tell you, yeah, from talking to the guys at Media Day that I got to meet on Louisiana Tech side and Sam Houston side, that game last year meant so much to both of those teams. They are so ready for the game against them this year. Like, yeah. And it's on Halloween. That is the game. Every guy was talking to me about that game. So that's one that I have circled just because the guys were talking to me about it so much. Like, yeah, that, what was it? It was 9-3, right? Yeah, the 9-3 game last year. They are like... at each other's throats already about that game. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and just thinking back to, yeah, some of those goal line situations with La Tech, some of the things that, yeah, went, I mean, really neither team had a lot of things go their way in that game. But, yeah, it was definitely a chippy one. And I don't know, I may have to call dibs on that one from when we do our game, you know, weekday CUSA games we're most excited to watch.
All right.
Because that's definitely up there. But. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, home and away. Obviously, home for you guys comes with a big asterisk this year. For those of you who don't already know, which you should, they're playing their home games at Shell Energy Stadium down in Houston, home of the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. But, you know, while you guys do some upgrades to your stadium there in Huntsville. So from your standpoint, I know it's going to be new for everyone, but I mean, have you guys kind of thought about what challenges that may provide just being in a new place? I know it's just right down the road, you know, about 30, 45 minutes from you guys, but logistically, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hurdles.
Yeah, logistically, I mean, you have to, they're trying not to say that every game is an away game. What you have to think about it is it is. I mean, odds are they used to go down there a night before for, you know, when they would play at the NRG games. So you figure they're going to go down the night before, stay the night in a hotel somewhere in Houston. Being Shell is about, I think it's 73 miles away. So in Houston, a couple of those games are, I think one's at 6:30 and one's at 7:30. So, you know, Houston traffic will be fun. But it'll be just one of those things that you just have to get used to for the year. You have to play it every week that you're on the road, and you can say you're home, but you're on a bus. You're traveling 70 miles. You travel to Easterwood Airport and College Station to fly out. So that's about 50 miles. So you're basically doing that trip every week. But yeah, I think it's one of those that you just have to have the mindset of, hey, we just have to treat every week the same at this point, because they will be doing everything the same. They're going to fly out, you know, the day or two before a game. So in this case, you bust down a day or two before the game. Longo said, I believe at media day, that the offensive line eats first, gets the best seats on the bus, gets the best seats on the plane. So having all of that, you know, I just think it's going to be about how they can treat their body and how they can deal with the wear and tear of being pretty much on the road for every week of this season, even if it's just a quick bus trip down I-45.
That's interesting, for sure. Offensive line eats first. I like that. I feel like that should just like be a motto everywhere.
Those boys are the most important ones on the field. You got to take care of them. So, you know, we're adding an offensive lineman of the week this year. We're, you know, we're trying to really make sure that they get their laurels this year. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, it should be an exciting year of Sam Houston football, no doubt. You know, I think kind of going back to this conversation about the, you know, the upgrades at the stadium, I think we're seeing it across the board with all the schools that have come in within the last, you know, 3 years now, with, you know, you guys, New Mexico State, that wave, you know, Kennesaw, and then obviously with Missouri State and Delaware. Now, the amount of upgrades that have been being made, and you're seeing this infusion into the athletic department, this investment from the leadership, now that you guys are going into, I guess, year three now, right? Conference USA, what have you observed just in your time that you've really seen them kind of continue to make those upgrades? What other things jump out to you that they've done to really lean into this?
Really the Bowers upgrade, it was one of those. I started at this job in 2021, and I think in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024, I was told the press box was getting knocked down the day after the season ended. Well, it wasn't quite the day after the season ended in 2024, but it's down. So, you know, that was kind of step one. And even other sports, baseball's getting its new turf put in pretty much as we speak. It's just, you know, Johnson Coliseum has gotten some remodels. It's one of those that you could tell that, you know, maybe in year one, they were trying to figure out what they needed to do, and they can use the travel to different conference games as a stepping stone of, okay, this is what we need to kind of be on par with the rest. So yeah, it's one of those things that actually seeing the new press box go up and the steel beams be in place and go, wow, it's actually taking shape. It's been really cool to see just kind of the investment back into the team.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to see it once it's finished a lot. Sure. But like Josh said, lots of stadiums around Conference USA getting updated. So just another one in line. Can't wait to see all of these new updates. Well, Colton, we like to ask all of our beat writers or people who cover the team who come on the show kind of how they got their start. If any aspiring journalists are out there watching this right now, you kind of led into it that you started with the team or you started covering the team in 2021. Tell us a little bit about your path to being a sports editor for a newspaper.
So actually, I graduated from Sam Houston in 2020. My plan was to go into radio. If anybody ever asked me what I was going to do, I was like, I'm going to go to radio. But then I got to Sam, and one of my good friends asked me to write for him, and I looked at him and I said, yeah, that's not gonna happen. Here we are. So that night I went to a volleyball game. It was just kind of one of those things that it just kind of stuck with me. I always liked it. So I worked for the Houstonian for a handful of years. I was able to freelance here at the Huntsville Item. Then COVID hit, so everything, you know, went bonkers and shut down, and I was able to find a job close that kept me local, and I could still work freelance here. And then eventually they, you know, they had the opening, and I was able to kind of work my way in with all of the freelance work that I did here, and, you know, knowing everybody kind of already in town. And so it was, you know, it was an interesting journey, but I'm enjoying where it's ended up.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. We never know. Some people we've talked to have been working at their respective schools for 20 plus years, and some of them are in their first couple of years. So it's always awesome to kind of get to hear where people are going. Well, as we've already talked about, WKU game this upcoming weekend, August 23rd, 6 o'clock Central Time on CBS Sports Network. We will absolutely be tuning in, and a ton of people across America will be tuning in as well, because there's only a handful of games nationally televised on Saturday. So we're excited, obviously, from the conference office perspective to get some exposure, but we'll see who all's running out there with first team offense and defense this upcoming Saturday.
All of us will be just as surprised as the other when we see who comes out. But and we did talk about this with the schedule, and I was just kind of looking down and I was like, you guys have six games on CBS Sports Network. So shout out to our partner. They really wanted to watch you guys this year, and for good reason. I think there's plenty of excitement to be seen on national television with the Bearcats. So, but yeah, really excited for this first one Saturday evening on CBS.
Let's get ready for it. Well, Colton, appreciate your time today. Good luck to you the rest of the season as well, because I know obviously the guys are tired out there playing on the field, but you got a lot of work cut out for you this upcoming season as well. So good luck the rest of the way, and maybe we'll be talking to you later. Who knows?
Appreciate it. Thank y'all again for having me, and y'all get some rest too, because y'all are going to be just as busy.
This is true. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Colton.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned for my interview with head coach Phil Longo, James Dawn II, and Tyler Bailey from CUSA Football Media Day. All right, everyone. Thank you again for joining us here on another segment of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are back here at the 2025 CUSA football kickoff here in Frisco, Texas at the PGA of America headquarters. Joining us now, we've got the Sam Houston Bearcats. Happy to have you guys here. Head coach Phil Longo, and then we also have Tyler Bailey and James Dawn II. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Excited to talk some ball.
For sure. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, first, we're going to start with some football questions. We'll transition into some fun questions towards the end of our interview. But a lot of, I think the word is probably newness on the Sam Houston football team this upcoming season. So what's being talked about in the coaching room and in the locker room right now heading into 2025? What are you guys preaching going into this season and about to start camp today, right?
Today.
All right, let's get into it.
So we will we'll head out of here and start camp. We've got 120 reporting of the 85 scholarship players that walked off the field after the New Orleans Bowl win in December. We have 55 new faces this year. So it's an important camp, obviously, and a new locker room. And so the landscape of college football has become, what can you assemble this year? Can you go win with it? And that's what we plan to do.
What about you guys? What's the locker room talking about?
Just getting closer with each other. Like Coach Longo said, this is a big fall camp. Just, of course, getting down like our plays and stuff, but the camaraderie of the team, the relationships, that's going to be a big part of just coming together. I think we've done like a good job of that over the summer and the spring.
What about you, James?
Just, hanging out with the guys, getting everybody gelled together, making sure we're all on one page, you know, especially in the O-line room, making sure we're all gelled together. And just keep building everything up.
So tell me a little bit about the Sam Houston brand of football this year. A little bit of a different offensive scheme than some Bearcats fans have seen in years past. Tell me a little bit about how you guys are handling that and what Bearcat fans can expect to see on the field this season.
So offensively, I think we'll be a little different. It'll be very similar to my last tenure here, which was 2014 through 16, were probably a little bit more spread and wide open. Defensively, the system will be very different. I would love to think that the production and the execution will be the same. I thought they were very good on defense last year, and so that you'd like to continue that plan. And then, you know, we have kind of overhauled special teams, and so it'll be interesting to see how these guys, and they have done a good job since we've been here in December of learning it and executing it. And so that's what camp is for here. Get ready for opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the player perspective, what are you guys like looking forward to for this different brand? I think a lot of people would say a really exciting brand of football going into 2025.
I'm looking forward to just being with my brothers out there playing. I'll speak for the defense. We're playing fast and physical. And that's how we want to play every game. We're not going to change that for anyone. Depending on who we play, it's going to be the same every week.
On the we got a lot of speed everywhere. So then up front we're gonna play physical. So like we always do.
Awesome. Obviously, Coach Longo, first year in the league with Conference USA as head coach. Tell me a little bit about just kind of what you've seen so far. Obviously, not played any live ball just yet. I'm sure you're watching tons and tons of film. So what are you looking at about this Conference USA league this year? And what can you tell the fans that they can expect from some of these games?
You know, it was interesting. It's been Big Ten. It's been SEC. It's been ACC. And so coming here, I'd never coached in the Conference USA. And it really took some time for Coach and I and the rest of the staff to watch the opponents from last year just to get a feel for what the conference is all about. So really these two right here have a much greater feel for the conference than I do. It'll be a learning process for me as we go through the fall. At the end of the day, though, it comes down to execution. And so that's the plan here. But I think from a familiarity standpoint, you know, these guys are much more adept at what's going on at Conference USA than I am right now.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. I'm curious to know from a player standpoint, what can you guys tell people out there about Conference USA football? Obviously, there's not, you know, a linear, like everybody has the same brand of football. I mean, in general in college athletics these days, I feel like you get a lot of that. But especially in our league, everybody kind of plays a different brand of ball. So what do you guys think about the league this year? Obviously, two new members, too, coming in.
I like that. The two additions, Missouri State and Delaware, actually got recruited by coaches at Delaware. So, I mean, it's good football. It's just like any football anywhere else. You got athletes who can run fast, who can hit hard, who can throw the ball far. It's just who executes the most. I feel like Conference USA is not seen as like a bigger conference, but it's a great brand of football there.
I think it's a really physical conference. You know, we go out there and I think just – from a standpoint, looking at it on TV, you don't think it's like all this, all that, but it's really physical. It's really different.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to get to see you guys on some weeknight games. I know it's tough on the coaching staff and the players, but nationally televised football, can't beat that. ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, definitely some extra chance for some exposure. Call your cousin from across the country, tell him you're on TV. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Awesome. So I guess the other question I have, just kind of football based question, is there like one motto that you're going into this season with, or one for you, coach, one that's either just transcending through the locker room or that the coaching staff is really preaching this year for the players on the field?
Our team motto, I guess that's the best word for it, is character and production. And that just exemplifies what we want out of our team every year, and that won't change. I know it changes from year to year with some teams. We want them to be good people on and off the field. We want them to manage themselves and handle themselves that way. That goes for myself and our staff as well. And then you know, I've always said, if you have a player that wants to know why they're starting, you take a look at what the production is in practice and on film, and I think you get your answer. And so guys that want to play and they want to execute, they want to contribute and be a part of it, they have to be productive. And I don't know that life gets any more difficult than that. I think it's about character production.
How do you guys exemplify that character in production? What does that look like for you guys?
Well, for me, off the field, just my grades, making sure my house is clean, groceries, managing my money. And that's the character part of it. And then on the field, just go produce, go play. I've been playing football my whole life, so just go do what I do.
Awesome.
I feel like it's just do your job. You know what I'm doing? You know what I'm saying? Do your job. Take care of your business. Be a grown man at the end of the day. Nobody's going to watch over your shoulder. You know what I mean? You're a grown man, so just do your job.
All right. Just do your job. I like it. Okay. We're going to switch into some more fun questions, more lighthearted questions. I'm done with the football stuff for now. So one thing, you're from here, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're like from Prosper?
10 minutes up the street. I'm from Chicago, but I was raised here. Yes.
Okay. So you have some family in town?
Yeah. My mom is... she just stopped by, actually, and to see me. But my little brothers and my mom and my stepdad live Prosper.
That's awesome. I'm glad. I just had to get that out there. That's really cool that you're able to get up here and be around them. But sure. My first question on the more lighthearted side is, you know, I love hearing from our student athletes what they're studying, what their aspirations are in their career. If football is over for them, what do they want to do next? So tell me a little bit about your majors, what you're studying, and then what you plan to do with that later in life.
My major is construction management. I kind of did that for like a fallback, just a fallback. But after college, I'm gonna go do the oil field. So I'm gonna be a high voltage electrician. Do that, and maybe later on in life going the construction side of things when I got more experience on the electrical side and maybe wire up houses and stuff like that, commercial buildings.
And you and I were talking about this last night. Like, you're set up. Mm-hmm. You've got your job lined up. That's awesome. I love hearing stuff like that. What about you, Tyler?
My degree is business. So I graduated in December. I start my master's in January, or plan to start my master's in January. I want to do something on the sports side of the business, if it's in the media, the production, it depends. I'm not really sure what I want to do with this 100%, but something with that.
All right. You're here. You see all these people around.
Yes, or no.
You know that you can always give us a call when you're ready.
I'll then get some connections.
Okay. Good. That's good. Make some networking connections. All right. Next question for you. I think our fans love this one more than anything because it gives them like a little insight into the locker room. But tell me, and Coach, you can chime in on this one as well. Who is the absolute funniest guy in the locker room? Who's always cutting up and laughing?
Cordell Pratt. QP, he's one of the funniest guys in my eyes. I think he's one of the funniest. Got a lot of guys. Our locker room's funny. Who do you?
Q's funny, too.
Q.
Quinn Williams, mm-hmm. He's funny. He's a really funny guy.
All right. Do you have one either on the coaching staff or in the locker room, Coach?
You know, the guy that makes me laugh just about every time I talk to him is Avion Smith-Mack. So it's just bubbly and energetic and overdone all the time. He's got more energy than anybody I know, and I just tend to be in a good mood after I talk to him.
Awesome. That's always a nice person to have in your circle for sure. Okay. On the flip side of that, who needs to lighten up a little too serious, needs to smile a little bit more?
Goes longer.
I don't know. I have to think about that one. So you guys, that's a tough one.
I don't know. I feel like our team is very lighthearted. We have no one who's grumpy very much.
Yeah.
We have a couple that look the part, you know, they look like they're in a bad mood all the time.
Real intense.
You talk to them though, and it's they're fine. And Austin Smith comes to mind all the time.
He looks serious, but he's not a deep voice.
You got a big deep voice.
Deeper voice than Coach Longo.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt.
That's awesome. Well, so anyone on the coaching staff at all that comes to mind for either of those? I'm just so curious.
Energy wise, it's Coach Eric Ray's back. Wouldn't you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Without question. Moody? No, I don't think so. I don't think
Moody. I like that
one. Negative? I don't know. I don't.
Coach McGraw.
Coach McGraw probably looks like, you know, his dog just got shot.
He's happy inside, though.
But he's happy inside.
He's a great coach and a great person. But just looking at him, you'd think he's not in a good mood, I think, initially.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, that's all right sometimes, that intensity. Sometimes you just got to. You don't want to talk to people, and that's okay too. You got that intensity. All right. My final fun question for you guys, and I like to ask all of our guests this because I have had the pleasure of going to a lot of our school campuses, but not everyone that is listening or fans from other schools who might have plans to come visit Huntsville this year, they need to know where they need to go to eat when they're on campus. So we call this segment CUSA Eats. Give me a restaurant or two, some advice on maybe what I should get there if I'm coming to Huntsville, Texas for a football game this fall.
You can go first, Coach.
You know, it depends on what you want. If you want, truthfully, if you want a burger, the best burger there is probably at Huffer's. I tell you, if you wanted some sort of Cajun, you got to go to Big E's. And if you want to try something different, that's really going to be good. It probably won't read well on the menu. It probably won't look well when they place it in front of you. You probably won't even identify it. And then when you have it, it'll be fantastic. And that's at Sam's Table.
Okay.
Yeah.
What type of food is Sam's Table?
A little everything.
Okay.
And they've got their own little way of doing things. So everything you have that's normal will be a little bit different.
Okay.
But I haven't had a bad meal there yet.
All right. You sound like you're a foodie a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Nice. What about you guys?
It's like a hole in the wall spot called Carmelitas. They serve like breakfast tacos and breakfast food. Definitely one of the best places in my opinion. And the prices are cheap, so. Portions are great.
Awesome.
I'm going to go Humphrey's for sure. They got some really good chicken nachos. Best in the world that I've had.
All right.
And then Secret Spot, Short Tops Burgers. Mm-hmm. It's a little gas station, but it looks crazy. But you got to go. It's the best burger in town.
Those are sometimes the best places. Those hole in the walls, unsuspecting, best food. Mm. Awesome.
I would tell you the next time you're in town, it's not right in Huntsville. But the best ribeye steakhouse in the country is in Leona. It's called Leo Steakhouse.
Okay.
fantastic.
My husband is a bona fide Texan from birth, and he loves Leona's. So I have actually, I have not gotten the chance to go there, but he does talk about it. I guess it's about time he needs to take me. I'm going to tell him Coach Longo told me that you guys take me to Leona's. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today on CUSA Insider. Good luck this upcoming season. Excited to see the Bearcats get on the field, and looking forward to just seeing that new brand of football and what you guys have to offer this season. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much to everyone who joined the program from Sam Houston. We are ready. We're ready for some football. It's week zero. Or if you're like my husband, Josh, it's week one. He's like, we're playing football this week. Yeah. What is week zero?
Right.
So it's week 0/1 as we're getting into things. Like we've got a game this weekend. And I can't believe that it's already here.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm expecting a lot of things. We'll talk about this later this week. As we mentioned, WKU episode coming up on Thursday. So tune into that if you would like. But I'm expecting a lot of big things out of this game, because I think there are a lot of holes on both sides. With Sam Houston, obviously a lot of newness there. WKU, though, I feel like a lot of people aren't talking as much about how new that team is this year as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is the era of the transfer portal. So I feel like we're going to say this about all of our teams, but we finally get to see some action on the field this weekend. Yeah.
Well, and they've been the ones that have really run the transfer portal since its inception. Obviously, Tyson Helton has been, has embraced that, with open arms. And, we've kind of talked about it plenty on the podcast about their approach to it. And they did it again, right? They brought in a lot of newcomers. They brought in a stack of an offensive coordinator and a quarterback from an FCS school. And we saw how that worked out 4 years ago.
Yep.
So we'll see if they can bottle the same magic they did with Bailey Zappe back in 2021. Everyone will find out on Saturday evening. But
yeah,
really excited to see both schools because like you mentioned, there's a lot of newness across the league. I think it'll just be a good litmus test for the league as a whole, because I think that a lot of teams, Jack State, Sam Houston, WKU are kind of all in the same boat, where they were obviously very successful teams a year ago, but have a lot of new faces and even new coaches in Sam Houston's regard and in Jack State.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll kind of see, hey, how easily can they come back from that amount of loss in the portal?
Right.
I'm excited.
All right.
So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to quit talking about it.
I know. Talking season is almost over.
I know. Yeah.
It's almost over. But you still have to stick around, because next week we have two more preview episodes for you. Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. We'll be previewing them next week. So be sure that you are following CUSA Insider Pod on all of our platforms, X and Instagram, at CUSA Insider Pod. You can find us on YouTube. If you want to watch the show, if you're already watching, you found us, obviously. But go find Conference USA on YouTube, and we've got a show page right on that homepage for our Conference USA YouTube spot. And then as well, you can make sure that you are listening if you want to do audio only. We have Spotify and Apple's podcast and Amazon Music, so you can find us in all three of those places. Well, that is it for us today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, and that is Josh Jonas, and we are signing off.